Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Are you blown away that you get the invitation? Get this. You have a personal invitation by the Creator. But get this, you're invited. I'll never forget, and this is not a name dropper. I've told the story before. Several years ago, I did I actually hosted the Lou Brock Scholarship Foundation, and it was the live auction and the silent auction, and the silent one was a blessing for my wife because she didn't have to hear me. The live one was a couple of hours of me auctioning off things on behalf of the Lou Brock Scholarship Foundation. And before that happened, see, he wanted a spirit-filled pastor to do this. Just remain standing if you can. If you can't, I understand. But listen, we're going to worship here. So they invited his wife, Jackie, invited us over to the house for dinner, and we're sitting there in their lower level. That would be, you know, if you just can imagine a hall of fame, this mini hall of fame. And Gene and I are sitting there going, can you believe? Now get this. I'm trying to be cool, right? Hi, Lou. Hi, Lou. Hi, Lou. You know, it's one of those moments where this is a childhood hero. I mean, some of you, come on. This is like Albert Pujols of today, right? So Lou's standing, you know, he's sitting there, and he looks sharp. He looked dapper. You know, he looks at Gina, and he said, am I dressed okay? Jackie told me I had to dress up. Gina looked at him. She said, it's your house. You can dress any way you want to. But Lou, you look pretty good. She said, if you ask me, and I'm sitting there going, don't tell him he looks pretty good. Tell him he looks great. This is Lou Brock. Well, then some other guests arrive. Get this. Some other guests arrive, and I'm standing there. I'm actually having dinner next to Susie Bush, wife of August Bush, you know, former wife. And I'm just sitting there going, why am I here? Are you getting the picture, the correlation here? Why am I here? This is a who's of who. I mean, if you'd have been in the room, all those that were over for dinner at Lou and Jackie's house, I could give you the address, but I don't want to invade privacy. But so I'm like, okay. So in the middle of this, Susie Bush leans over. She said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, she reaches down into her purse. She pulls out a Bible. She said, is this a good one? She said, Lou and Jackie led me to Christ about a year ago, and I just got a new Bible, and I wanted to see if, I'm sitting there going, I think that's a pretty good Bible you got going there, Susie. And we're talking about God's Word and the difference of the versions and how amazing the revelation of God is. And I'm just sitting there taking this all in. And I'm like, why am I here? But God, why am I here? And in the middle of these guests, the host welcomes me and Gina as honored guests into this entire group, as though we're the honored guests there that day. And he introduced me as the MC for the Lou Brock Scholarship Foundation that year at the top of whatever that big hotel is by the airport. What is that big nice one there? I don't know what it is. The Renaissance Hotel. That's the only time in my life I've ever been in the Renaissance. Never been back since. But do you get the correlation? We're invited into the who's who. You and I, Connie, you and I got an invite to the who's who. And I just think that that is an amazing thing, that we get this invite, and he goes and he doesn't just put a stamp on it, he gives his life for the invitation. He gives his life to invite you and me into his presence, and he says, come to me. I'll put my arm around you, and you'll be my honored guest. And I'm like, no, you're the one being honored here. He says, and I honor you because you first honored me. You see, I'm just blown away by that invitation. Father, thank you for a beautiful invitation. Thank you for the invitation that cost you greatly and was free to me. People say, yeah, well, grace, you know, it's free. No, it never was free. Grace had a great, great price. It was the life of heaven's rose. Lord, I ask that an abundance of your Spirit will be poured out, God, as we just continue on into worship, as we get into your word. It's all an act of worship. Anything that honors you is an act of worship. So as we get into your word today, God, I ask that you would just so reveal new stuff of what you want us to know about you. Because, Lord, it isn't doctrine that we want to know. It's Jesus that we want to know. It's more of you, who you are, that we want to know. It doesn't honestly matter what the Assemblies of God or the Baptists or the Catholic or the Lutheran. That isn't the issue. The issue is Jesus. So, Lord, we want to learn more of you. Not just about you. We want to learn more of you by experiencing you in us. Jesus, you said, when you went away, you will do greater things than you've seen me do. Now that is amazing. That is amazing. I ask you, Father, your blessing, that you would bless so profoundly the families of SCRC and all the churches in the metro area. God, that you would bless the Catholic churches, the Lutheran churches, the Baptist churches, all the churches that are teaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I ask you, God, for a revival in 2019 in every church across the world, the Church of Jesus Christ, wherever it is. I ask you, God, whether it is a communist China or a communist North Korea or a communist Russia, God, awaken the Church of Jesus Christ, especially here in the United States, because we take so much for granted, God. We take so much for granted. Awaken us. Teach us. It's not about being conservative Republicans. It's about being God-loving people. God-fearing and God-loving and God-honoring and loving people. In our daily walk, it's not about being the best politic I can be. In Jesus' name. And every believer said, amen. Except for those of you who just got mad at me because you're conservative. Anyway, give the Lord a huge, 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 huge hand. Come on. Come on. Give Him a huge hand. Come on. We can do a lot better than that. I just said the Creator walked into the room. The Creator walked into the room. The Creator just walked into the room. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? I said, are you ready to get into the Word?
Yes!
It is a great day. I'm telling you, it is an exciting day. Yeah, and I just want to tell you, if you didn't get to come to the Christmas Eve service, we totally understand. We know that life happens. We know that you have family, and we don't require, I don't even require the staff to come. I've heard stories of pastors that require the entire staff to stay in town in every service, and I have a different philosophy about that. I kind of never want your family to pay the price that you're a pastor's family. I want you to be blessed by the fact that you're a pastor's family, and so the only one that is required to be here is me. And Gene and Beth are always here no matter what. They would not be here. That's who they are. And I'm telling you, Randy and Sandy, you are servants. You are servants. You are servants. I honor you. Yeah, give them a hand. It says to honor those whom are worthy of honor. I just want you to know, I could have kissed that husband of yours when he walked through the door last Sunday morning. I didn't, but I could have. Yeah, he's so happy to be here. I noticed that. He was really happy to be here. I just want you to know, as we wrap this year up, I love Pastor Mike. That was just anointed, dude. It was anointed. What God is doing. Yeah. I love our St. Charles River Church family. And so many are away today. They really are. So many are away, and they know they're still visiting family members away, and if, We just want to pray for safety. Father, bring them back to us safely. Bring them home safely. We treasure you as a church. We actually, how many know that many people consider their church family really actually is their family? That's their family. The church family is their family. And you know, according to the New Testament, that's the way it really should be. So when people talk about, and I've been in church all my life. I've been in church all my life. I mean, my mom and dad made sure we were there all the time. If the church doors were open, we were there. And many of you were raised that same way also. That's why I don't want to cause undue stress on you. I don't try and open the church all the time. What I try and do is empower the church. There's a totally different philosophy here about empowering the church. You see, coming here, you know, I love just a little bit of philosophy here before we get into the year-end wrap-up. When you come here, we come here to celebrate what God is doing through you.
Amen.
You see, the book of Acts is still alive and well.
That's right.
We are still the New Testament church.
Yes.
And it is called the Acts of the Apostles, and that's who you are. You're the disciples of Christ. You're those that prophetically go out and you reach the harvest and you speak into people and you give Christ away. What's our underneath our logo is bringing Jesus to people. We don't have on there bringing people to Jesus. We have bringing Jesus to people because we believe, as you believe, that bringing Christ to people is the issue. That's our goal. That's our task. That's our commission. And so we come here to celebrate what God has done and empower the saints to, we're a green light church leadership, aren't we?
Yep.
We're a green light church. What are you hearing from God? Wow, what's God telling you? How's God telling you to do that? What's that look like? Tell us what that looks like. How can we help you? How can we empower you? What does that look like? Oh, what kind of research do you need us to do as well as you? I've seen some great ministries raise up. If you don't know, we have a food pantry as of now. As of now, right? As of now, we have a food pantry. That came from a Boy Scout that had a vision, had something in his heart. And Pastor Carl, who oversees all the Boy Scouts of America that are commissioned under St. Charles River Church, and they meet here every Thursday in this building, they did it. And so we're about empowering people. If we have it, it's yours. It's a New Testament principle. So it's an amazing thing. Keith's not here today, is he? Keith's not here. Tell him I told a story on him. One day, I was talking about us being a New Testament church, and I said in the early church, hey, if I had it, you needed it, it's yours. What do you need? Food? What do you have? You need some construction stuff? What do you need? A lawnmower? And I said it like that one day, a lawnmower? You know, back then, the lawnmower was a mule. So, or a goat, or, you know, whatever. You need some weeding done, you get a goat, you know. And so I said, a lawnmower? And about that time, you know, at the end of service, a lady came up to me, did you mean that I could really borrow your lawnmower? I said, absolutely, sweetheart, I'd love to give it to you. If you figure out who would mow my lawn, I will permanently give it to you. And about that time, Keith walked up behind me, United States Marine uniform, walks up behind me, Pastor Barry, I will mow her lawn. When can I pick the lawnmower up? Now that's the New Testament church.
Amen.
I know that sounds simple, but that's the New Testament church. Taking care of what does the word say? Taking care of widows and orphans. Now that is what? Pure religion. That's honest service in the kingdom. Isn't it? Isn't that amazing? So that's what we just believe in, empowering the church. This isn't about coming here and doing church. When we do church, it's out there.
Right.
And so that's not a popular teaching, but it's just easier to come in and do great services. I mean, great services. Walk out. Listen to me. Walk out and everybody say, wasn't that an awesome service? That was awesome. And I would say, yes, it was. How many got saved? How many came to a greater faith today? That's the scoreboard.
Yes.
Y'all know what the scoreboard is in a ball game? You know what a scoreboard is? I mean, I only got two or three. Everybody know what a scoreboard is, right? And I'm going to tell you a little bit of, John Maxwell covered this a long time ago in one of his sessions. It's a great session. And it just really came alive in me that a scoreboard really matters. You can actually turn on an NFL game or any game. You can go into a stadium at any game. And instead of turning to a guy and saying, tell me all about the game, so far. All you have to do is look up at the scoreboard. And it will tell you the quarter that you're in, how much time has lapsed, how much time remains, who's winning, who's losing. It will tell you in basketball, it'll tell you how many team fouls on each team. And if you follow the sport, you got a pretty good idea who's getting the fouls. Because they always do. Scoreboards bring you right in to where things are right now. And they grab you, and all of a sudden, you've missed three quarters of the game. Literally, you can jump in on the fourth quarter, and you can get intense. Okay, they got 15 minutes to go, just under 15 minutes. They're on the 40-yard line. They got 60 or whatever yards to go. Now, they need a field goal minimum, because the score tells me right now, the scoreboard tells me that they're down by 2 points. All they need is a field goal to take the lead. But they got to make sure then that they don't put the other team in a position. You can jump into the game just by the scoreboard. I never knew that. It took me years to learn. You can actually, by the scoreboard, and I want to, today's message title, since, by the way, the reason we title messages is so that on our website you can actually look them up by title, kind of get the subject, and I try and never title something too fancy. I want you to be able to look it up and it'd be self-explanatory. But today's title is simply this: The Final Score. What's the final score? One day, you will have a final score. By the way, nothing ever matters on the scoreboard except to Mike, Pastor Mike, and guys like that that are so intense about the score. Where, you know, the guys that are really into the, there he is, he's hiding behind the chair there. You get into that score, but do you know what? No score matters. It doesn't matter. None of that matters until you get to the very end and it goes 4-3-2-1-0. The final score is all that matters. No one will remember who did really great on the losing team, but he had 150 rushing yards, but they lost. It may go in the record books, but the final score, the W or the L, is all that matters. We're about to have the final score of 2018. It's wrapping up. And as those of you know, you've seen me do this in the past. I grabbed this. Do you know this was the hardest book to find this year? It's like they didn't think anything happened much in 2018, but I grabbed it. I went over, I finally got a hold of it. This was an interesting year. I just want to review it real quick, and then I'm going to get into something that Paul said to us. We got just the year-end review. Harry and Meghan, the royal wedding. It was a beautiful thing. It was awesome. It was fun to watch. It was beautiful. An American finally in the palace. Like that matters, but anyway. That's what they touted. The American press touted it the whole time. Finally, an American in the royal family. I thought we were all from the same family. Anyway, I thought we came from England. Anyway, we were New Englanders, you know, right? Tiger is back. Tiger Woods made the comeback. The roar is back. That's what they said. The roar is back. Here we go. We got some tragic hurricanes, tragic earthquakes again. If people don't know, terrorism is alive and well around the world. Cruelty is alive and barbarism is alive. People are barbaric around the world and for their cause. And they're screaming God is good as they do those things. By the way, they did that in Belfast, in Northern Ireland also, whether they were Protestant or Catholic, they did that in Christian faith, quote unquote, as well. There was great elections and great turmoil through elections. Don't you love politics? Nothing controversial about that. Okay. So I move on. We had a fascinating, it's quite a magazine. We had a fascinating judicial process there with Judge Kavanaugh. It was fascinating to watch. Hate around the world. tragic shootings in the schools once again. I'd love to give you good news. His name is Jesus. Had a meeting that never would have taken place in anyone's minds. Don't know anything came out of it. The scoreboard has I've been unplugged on that one, so we don't know. At least 12 children were caught in a cave, trapped in a cave in, was it Thailand? In Thailand, and they had to rescue them, and I just praise God. I don't know about you, but I mean, I really sensed the church was alive and well praying during that time around the world for the rescue of these children. And I thank God for that. We were sweating it out. Some of you are old enough to remember when Apollo 13 was in the air and America and around the world, people were praying that they would get those three astronauts back safely. That comes alive to me really powerfully when men like, the Grissoms, Gus Grissom's brother was here not long ago, Lowell and Bobette Grissom, and that whole conversation is about, you know, his brother was killed in Apollo 1 spacecraft. Those things are alive to me because of the price that people paid. Lots of things continue to happen. We lost some well-known, people throughout the world, people that there's some for you may be endearing, some may not be. Kate Spade, we lost her during that time. We lost George Herbert Walker Bush, President Bush. We lost his beloved wife Barbara during. So it's been a year of loss. We lost John McCain, for those of you, whether you liked him or not, whether you were a fan of his. Quite an American story, quite an American hero story. Lost the great Aretha Franklin. Just what a doll. What a doll. Just a sweetheart. Just an amazing, amazing thing. And I look at the rest that we lost. Anthony Bourdain. We lost a great, kind of a fun guy to watch around the world. And of course, probably Stephen Hawking was, Stan Lee? Oh, he's in here. He's in here. I haven't named them all, Beth. I'm trying to, Stanley, and what was the name of the Black Panther? The Black Panther was released. That's how my grandson says it. The Black Panther. I think he's British. I think he thinks he's British. But there's a final score coming up here on 2018. For some of you, I think Pastor Mike said it well, wrapped it up well. For some of us, we would say, thank God, 2018 is over. For some of us, we would say, thank God for the things God did in 2018 in my life, and what he's still doing in me. So the final score is about to be written. I want to talk with you real quickly, read to you from the book of 2 Timothy, if you'll turn there. Paul addressed kind of the final score in this particular scripture. All of you know it well. It is 2 Timothy chapter, I'm going to start in chapter 3, actually, and I'm going to jump on into chapter 4 soon, but it'll be verse 10 in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. It says, and this is Paul's talking about just before this, Paul was addressing godlessness in the last days. By the way, one of the things, if you look at the list of things that he says here in chapter 3, just the early part, don't put this up. Travis, I just want to cover this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. By the way, is there ever been a more selfish time that you can remember? Has there ever been a more, what's the word I'm looking for? Narcissistic? Has there ever been a more narcissistic time in your life, in your history, where you see it's kind of each man for himself? Each man for himself, you know, it's, doesn't matter what your thoughts are. Matters what my thoughts are. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. That has always been, by the way. And always will be, just so you know. Abusive, wow. Disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous. My, just go to the grocery store. We buy that stuff. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry, it's free. It's called Google. It's also called Facebook. Did you think I wasn't going to go there? Did you think I was going to stay away from Facebook? without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. By the way, there's a lot of religious people. Paul was a religious person. Paul was the most religious zealot there was on the face of the earth. He thought he was the protector of the faith, and the Jewish community felt that he was the protector of the faith, and he even killed Christians. Now listen, this Saul guy before he was Paul, he tortured Christians, he ordered the stoning of Stephen. And so the score at one point, get this, at one point, early in the game for Saul, his scoreboard showed him losing bad. You get the picture. In his scoreboard, at one point, the wrath of God would have fallen on him had his life ended. Because the score said he was clearly losing. He's torturing Christians like a dictator, ordering their deaths. You think he didn't live with that the rest of his life, by the way? When he said, I am chief among sinners, he wasn't being humble about that. He knew what he had done. How many times have you said, or have you heard someone say, if you knew me, you really wouldn't like me? You see, we all know ourselves. By the way, one of the greats that I didn't name, Billy Graham, sent home America's pastor this last year. Billy Graham. And yet he is as humble as he could be as he leaves this world and hoping that he accomplished what God wanted him. We're sitting there going, are you kidding? How could you not make heaven? But you see, Billy Graham knew what the real scoreboard was on his life. We all do. We all know what the final score, or we don't know what the final score is, but we all know what the scoreboard says because we're in the game. We know what it says. You ask an athlete who's in the middle of the game what the scoreboard says. They don't even have to know what it says. They have the feel for the game. They know if it's going well, if or it's going poorly. They know what momentum feels like. Well, Paul went on to say, let me just say this. Paul went on to say in 2 Timothy, I'm going to jump into verse 10. You, however, know about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Well, that's not good news. But everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. As for you, you continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you have learned it. In other words, you learned it from me. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ, through faith rather in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, or in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for a good game. It says good work there, but for the good game. You're in the work of God. That's the call. You're in the middle of the game, the work of God. And any coach that's putting a team together is trying to equip the team and instruct the team, you be here. When that man moves here, you go there. A coach will talk individuals through, making sure they're well-equipped for any game that they're in. Now, I'm going to jump on up into just some final remarks from Paul it's actually in chapter 4. And I'm going to start with verse 7. It's well-known. Everybody knows it for the most part. I have fought a good fight. Paul, you see, is knowing that the end is near. The final score is almost being written for the Apostle Paul. And he says these things. For I have already been poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. Verse 6. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. In other words, when it's all done and the final score is posted for my life. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. And Paul gives that, this is our hope. Paul said, look, you're going to get the same opportunity to meet the Creator as I will. And one day he's going to hand out these robes of righteousness, this crown of glory, and you will meet him just like I will, face to face. I saw the interview with Billy Graham this morning. He was towards the end of his life, and they said, how do you feel about dying? He didn't even hesitate. He said, I am so excited to meet my Creator. I am so excited to meet God face to face. And I'm like, God, I want that faith. God, I want that faith. I really want that. I want that double portion of anointing. This guy, I've seen, how many of you have ever seen Billy Graham in person? You ever saw him in person? I'm telling you, I'm trying to think of what the name of the group was. It was four young men that were singing at the last one I saw him at. And Kirk Franklin was there also. And when it came time for Billy Graham to come up to the platform, he had a walker. It was down at the Dome. And he had a walker. And he's doing this. And all four of these men and Kirk Franklin, they wanted to touch him as he was walking towards the platform. They wanted to touch him. They wanted to escort and be a part of the great escort of Billy Graham. And Kirk Franklin says, he comes right up and says, I just had to walk with him. I just had to walk with him. Because the man is, for us, in our, what we would consider the scoreboard is obvious on him. This man is Jesus. You know, Billy Graham made the statement. He said, I am not worthy to be escorted by anyone to this pulpit. And I'm sitting there going, God, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Because you see, when men raise you, and men should honor men whom are worthy and women who are worthy. We should. The word instructs that. But isn't it so much better when you hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter there into my kingdom. I mean, isn't that, come on in, you know, this amazing, you won! Look at the score. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, the book and the books will be open. The final score will be read for every believer at a marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be an amazing day when the final score, you see, that's when the trophies are handed out. But you know, I got to tell you, no one in here right now, your final score is not written. Your final score for these individuals that have gone home, their final scores are written. It's all in the books. There's no more records to be challenged. There's no more races to be run. There's no more tasks to be added to the score or to the statistics. There's no more. The books are closed. But can I just share with you, we have the privilege of open books still. And in 2019, if you have, I just want you to think about this for 1 minute. Then I'm going to ask for the offering to be taken in just a couple minutes. 2019, what is it that would stop you? If the momentum is not good in your life for Christ today, what is it that's in your life? Because there's something in there. There's something that you've been operating in the game. And I'm using the term, please don't be offended by that. I know that this is not a game. This is serious. I get that. But keeping the reference of that, there's some reason that you're not succeeding for Jesus Christ. What is that? And think about that just for a minute, because we want to pray and ask God to completely set us free from whatever that is in 2019 and free us up to, if we have a pulled hamstring, if we have whatever spiritual hamstring, whatever those wounds are, perhaps that are hurting so deeply, so profoundly that we can't operate in faith like we're supposed to. Someone really truly hurt us. And by the way, those are real. Wounds are real. And wounds need to be healed. And wounds need to be restored and forgiven, and also wounds need to be released. Because in the release comes this lightness, this I am free to be. Do you remember when Lazarus came out of the tomb? Jesus orders Lazarus out of the tomb. Get the picture. Here he comes. Now that's all I'm going to give you because I could fall over on the fourth one. But he's bound and he's wrapped from head to toe. And get this picture. Jesus doesn't say, Lazarus, set yourself free. Take that stuff off of you. He doesn't look, he can't. He's wrapped and he's bound. And Jesus said, loose him. He turned to the ones living and he said, loose him, let him go. And Jesus broke his chains. I mean, the chains of death came off because he called him out of there. And by the way, can you imagine if you've heard this before? Can you imagine had he not said Lazarus? He was in a graveyard. If he had just said, come out. You know how many dead would have come out of graves that day? So he had to refine it and he said, Lazarus, come forth to me. And here comes Lazarus. And then he looks at the believers, or the ones astounded, whatever they are, and he says, untie him. He's got to breathe. Get that stuff off his face. You're going to be dead again here in a couple minutes if you don't get that bounding off of his face and let his arms loose. You know, we want to make sure circulation starts again. We got to go feed the boy. He's been stinking for 4 days. And so Jesus gives us this privilege. If you got some stuff, grave clothes on you, just figuratively speaking, you got grave clothes on you, I want to pray about that for you today. I want to set you free in the name of Jesus. I'm not the one that does it. He does it through us with faith. But I want to agree with you that your grave clothes are being loosed and set. You're being set free for 2019. Everybody bow your head for just a minute. If that's you, you see, you get the picture now. I need to get those things off of me so that 2019 is an amazingly productive year for me of freedom in Jesus Christ. Raise your hand and pull it right back down. Yes. Oh my goodness. Hands. Oh my goodness. Hands all over this bill. That is awesome. Well, Father, in Jesus, the awesomeness is your honesty and your transparency. Anyone else quickly? You didn't raise your hand. You didn't. Yes. I see that hand. I see two more. Anyone else? I see the third hand. Yes. Anyone? Four? Yes. Anyone else? I just need to be free for 2019 to live the Christ life the way he intended for me so that the final score can be written and my life has been productive for Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Quickly. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to begin to set them free. Let them begin to visually picture those grave clothes and those ropes being untied from them. And the thing that was suffocating them spiritually is now being unwrapped from their face, and they can breathe spiritually. They can move about. Let them picture this freedom that's coming in their own spiritual walk in the name of Jesus Christ. They have freedom to do the will of the Father, just as Jesus did. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.